This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
What did I just watch?
Andrew here with Roberto Godine,
or Rob.
Or Rob. Usually we just call him Rob. He's a new friend, but he's in a band called Nostromo, and what's the other one?
Block Numbers.
Block Numbers. Nostromo is relevant because we're going to be watching, shortly after this, Alien Resurrection. You didn't like it when you first saw it.
It's not that I didn't like it. I was a teenager, probably didn't really devote my full attention to it, or really think of it in the larger context of like the Alien canon. It was just a film I watched on VHS. Which I rented, or my parents rented.
I see. So, I saw it in the theater, and I loved it. I saw it 2 or 3 times, because I'm crazy. But what was your first impression of it when you saw it?
I haven't seen it in so long that I can't even remember my first impression.
Jog it.
I just remember the scene where they're underwater, which I remember being kind of interesting. I remember there being Winona Ryder, because I was a teenager, that was very interesting.
Of course, yes.
And,
yes, absolutely.
And the clone Ripley thing. I just remember feeling like, did I watch the other Alien movies, or what is going on? Like, I didn't really...
Because it's a huge departure?
Yeah, exactly. Whereas the first two, I mean, now I know how they tie in together, but, you know...
Well, there's so many years between
them. Yeah, but there's still some sort of...
This is the one that has the biggest gap between them, time-wise. All right, you ready to watch it?
Yeah.
Let's go.
They brought her back.
You're not Ripley. Who am I?
To resurrect an alien species.
The queen. She'll breathe. You'll die.
No.
Ellen Ripley died trying to wipe the species out.
I'm not anxious to see her taking up her old hobby.
Someone or something is gonna wish they never did. Sigourney Weaver. Winona Ryder. Alien Resurrection. Rated R.
So we're back. We've just watched Alien Resurrection, the theatrical cut. And actually, right afterwards, I showed the remastered intro, which to me helps world building just a little bit for the movie. But what did you think now that your mind's been jogged?
This is definitely the kind of movie that I could watch as a 14-year-old and enjoy on the very just sensory level of here's some aliens in front of me and here's this and that. But now that I watched it as a 34-year-old person who thinks about context and things like that, I couldn't help but think of it as a film that was really trapped in the context of being a 97 sci-fi movie. Like we kind of briefly touched on, like sci-fi was kind of dying out at that time.
Yeah, nobody wanted to see that kind of science fiction. Rated R movies, it started.
All I can think of to liken that to is maybe like
Mission Impossible.
Event Horizon. No, I'm talking about The Last Gasp.
Yeah,
sci-fi.
The Last Gasp. Event Horizon is a very great movie, too.
Yeah, but at the time, who wanted to see that?
I don't think it did well either. Yeah, these were the two last of it. Like, I think we started getting all PG-13. And another French film, Fifth Element, which I really like as well. These both seem like they come from the French comic book world, which actually, the first Alien did as well, because Mobius worked on it. Mobius worked with Metal Hurlant, which is heavy metal.
And then, Fifth Element is pretty much the Ink Call.
Yeah. It's designed like the Ink Call.
The story
isn't, but it's like it's in that setting, that universe. Now this is like, it's still lending from the French comic book design stuff, of course, with Giger a little bit. But that's how visually it is. So that's one of the reasons why I love it, is because it's incredibly French. Because it's Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
Yeah.
So, you though, I heard while watching the movie a couple of comments like script problems as the movie was going along from you.
Well, I don't know if it was an editing thing or a just not trying to show all your cards in the story thing, but a few times I had to just really wonder, like, wait, why is this happening? Why are we at this shot? Why are we at this locale? And I don't know if that is the product of, like, production, like, producers saying, put this in or that. Like, a lot of these things are always kind of marred by what the director wants versus what producers want to put in. And I also did feel it was very much informed by Jurassic Park. The whole beginning felt like Jurassic Park. The whole, like, it's out of the pen just felt like Jurassic Park. The idea, like, the scientists messing with nature when they shouldn't be.
Right. It never occurred to me.
Probably. And I never would have thought about that back then, but looking at context, it's really...
I've seen this a ton of times, and it never occurred to me until you mentioned it. And it's probably because I didn't like Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Well, that's not even liking Jurassic Park. It's like...
Whatever Jurassic Park is in my head, it's out the second I saw it. So, and now I have it in my head again.
Thanks.
But this, I like how crazy it is. I don't know if it was going to be crazier if those scenes were cut out. There was going to be like an off-road scene in space. Off-roading, seriously, on a spaceship through their like...
fake gravity in space.
Yeah.
Off-roading. So yeah, that already seems like a concept, and then a concept that if you question it and look at the context, like, why is this happening
and
in this movie?
They cut it out, and Joss Whedon lamented that because he wrote the script. You actually mentioned this, and I'm gonna mention something later for the podcast, but
okay, yeah, what was that?
That was the crew of the Betty, which is the pirate mercenary guys, whatever. In Alien Resurrection is the prototype for
Firefly
or the Serenity, and done so much better. I can't stand Firefly, but I like the movie Serenity, but I can't stand the TV show. I used to really like the TV show until I watched it with my wife for the first time, because she was like holding off for a while and she wanted to watch them all, and I go and I watch it with her, and I realized how crappy it is, how there is only one likable character, and that's Wash.
And then you kill him.
Yeah, they kill him in the movie. I don't care if that's a spoiler.
Or not canon, because...
Yeah.
If you haven't watched Firefly by now, you're not gonna care. Like, you don't need to care.
Right. Unless you're maybe, like, 9 years old or something.
But I don't think it would... It's kind of like, I don't know, it's like when certain bands come out, like, they were important in their time, but out of that context, it's just like, why do people like this?
Mm-hmm. Well, the movie, the
No, I mean, like...
deviating from the Alien,
yeah.
The movie Serenity is much better made. It's much more...
I actually saw it backwards. I saw Serenity, then someone was like, oh, you like that, you should watch Firefly.
That's how LB saw it, too.
And then I watched them all, and I was like, oh, not bad.
And they're not likable characters. Not a single one of them. And they're not fun, they're not cool, they're not good guys.
But they say funny things, which is, like you said, it's comic book writing.
It's comic book, yeah. Totally comic book.
The characters are there because they're there, because Joss Whedon said this one is this character, and that one's that character.
And this movie, because as a different director, I think. And he's French, which might be, it's strange, maybe like lost in translation, and the actors had to improvise or like had to discern what he's trying to say, how to act, because they're not French, except one of them. They act more, I guess, legit, realistic, I suppose. A tighter-knit group without having to explain their history and background.
Yeah, that's the mark of a good, I guess, ensemble cast, where you're not like, wait, why do these people hang out with each other? You're just kind of like taking, like, okay, and you see some interplay between them, and you see their personalities, and then, like, the respect they have for each other. Because
it's all between the lines. That's really what I like about the crew of the Betty, and I didn't like that.
We're essentially human smugglers.
Yeah.
Kind of
they'll
traffickers.
In this movie, they're human traffickers. I liken to think that the grand adventures of the crew of the Betty would be like they're smuggling their strange whiskeys or people or a rhino horns.
An endangered rhino. Yeah.
You know? So stuff like that would be what I think the Betty does. And it basically what Firefly does, but with every episode of Firefly, they constantly have to remind you, this is what we are. We're these people. We don't need that. And we didn't need that with the crew of the Betty. That's why I like that.
Plus, yeah, like the crew of the Betty are likable actors, which is also really important, I think, casting-wise. I like, even when I was young, I was like, Ron Perlman's cool, or the guy from the Crow's Pool, Michael Wincott. But
we should start like really not that guy, the guy from the Crow. It's always Michael Wincott.
Yeah, no, I try.
It's hard.
Well, did that movie come out after the Crow?
Yeah, Crow was 94.
Yeah, so
it's still the guy. From
context.
The Crow.
Yeah, context. Casting. They're like, we can get the guy from the Crow.
Yeah, and he's like the gruffest. Like we were saying, he should be the Punisher. He could have been the Punisher if the Punisher came out back then.
We missed out, I think.
Yeah, we did. Oh, or maybe he did too. So, Alien Resurrection. Do you like it now more than you think you did back then?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
But you haven't even seen the one that's got the 10 extra minutes.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I just wanted to watch the original one that I kind of watched when I was younger and just
try to vibe with your
I just didn't pay attention to movies the same way I did when I was younger. I don't think anybody does, really. Maybe you do.
I did, but I'm a little bit older than you.
I think the problem is now that...
So, back when that movie came out, I was a lot more film-minded.
Yeah, well, now everything is more like... Everything in Hollywood is always out in the open. There's blogs, there's all this stuff. I always think about pre- and post-production now.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, the curtain has been pulled back. And you can't watch a movie like that when you're older. Or even now, even kids, I bet now, are thinking
right.
Like CG.
Look, I just saw...
Like, there's no wonder. There's just, like...
I just saw, what's that, Crossbones suit in the new... Captain America movie, and I'm like, I have an opinion about it. Why should I have an opinion about it? I shouldn't have ever seen it.
You should just be happy that, yeah, you should just be happy that.
But I see this thing of, ooh, more new Captain America set photos. Stop looking at set photos, people.
Yeah.
Just, this is part of the reason why there's no wonder in films. And that's what this movie had.
I think that's why this movie messed with so many people. Imagine if there had been this whole, like, apparatus now of, like, here's some set photos of Ripley. What's this weird alien human thing? What's this supposed to be?
Hybrids.
Yeah, they would have just ruined everything.
Uh-huh.
You would have seen these, like...
Spoiler alert!
Yeah. You'll never believe what happened next.
I used to read the effects magazine. It's not Fangoria, really, but CineFX was one that I used to try to find sometimes, and that was always after the movie came out.
Yeah.
It wasn't before
the movie.
So
you were already blown away by the raw image of what you saw, and then you went back and, like, how did they do that?
Yes, exactly. So...
It's an interesting thing, though, about... context, or, you know, like, knowing what happened, who did what. I knew that Joss Whedon didn't like the way it turned out, but I didn't know exactly why, and then I had to look it up right now on my phone.
What did you learn?
All he just said was that he didn't like the casting.
Oh, that's BS, man.
Because he said the casting ruined his, like, twists, or what he thought were the twists.
Oh,
of
that.
Brad Dourif being insane. But we already know
Brad
that when he's making out with
him. Because he's Brad Dourif. So,
like I said, if you get Dan Hedaya, you know you're not going to trust him
right.
in the film. We can't trust him because he's Dan
Hedaya. But those people have such interesting faces and textures to who they are, including the guy that they strung along, the other doctor that they had.
Well, that's where the French director comes in. He's like, well, see, I don't know how closely tied he is with the casting decisions, but
he must be very. I mean, he's got two guys that he's worked with.
He's got Ron Perlman also, yeah.
And Dominic Pino. Those guys, and he's got his other guys that
feel like
always
the only
worked with.
Hollywood move in that movie was just getting Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
Just because she's an outlier, she had never done really... Well, not that she had never done anything sci-fi, but even then, like, it just seemed like odd casting.
Well, what else has she done with sci-fi?
Nothing that I can think of, but I don't want to piss off some
like
hardcore Winona Ryder fan.
Welcome Home, Roxy Carmichael. It's not science fiction.
Well, I mean... but she had done Beetlejuice, so she has already been in something visually...
Okay, that is a genre film.
But she's been in something weird that's like kind of visually
and then
striking.
She stayed away from weird.
Yeah.
And then this is her return to weird, and I wish she stayed there because she's great.
This was just her, like, they have a part open for Alien, I got it, okay, cool. Yeah.
And I mentioned this too, like, it seems like her acting's really crappy at the beginning of the movie, but that's deliberate. That's deliberate, I think, because her character reveal is she's, like, totally not crappy acting then.
But she's a robot pretending to be a drunk human.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. I don't remember if the 2003 reworked version has extra scenes explaining why she's on the mission to
stop whatever
the,
they explained in that chapel scene did not give any sort of
insight. And I think there is an extended chapel scene, but we didn't watch
it's
it
just, you're, I'm just here because I'm here and we're in the movie now. It's
and
too
she,
late to
yeah,
care.
Yeah,
let's
she
just
knows,
get off the ship.
I know there's bugs on this ship and we gotta exterminate. And that's that. So,
but I think she felt bad after looking at, like, the government secrets that she had.
Had access. Like, she's a Snowden.
Yeah.
She's
in
like
a
Snowden character. Pre-Snowden, pre-whistleblower culture. Yeah, so I really like this movie. I like this movie a whole lot, even after some of these questions that we have. I don't mind questions most of the time because...
I don't think questions should kind of ruin your...
It doesn't. It's not even a plot hole, necessarily. It's like, it's just a question that you can just think about or...
Yeah, or just not. Yeah.
Maybe you miss something and you watch it again and it's covered, but questions don't always have to cripple a movie for me. And this one, it doesn't. Not at all.
But I thought it was interesting that you brought up growth in Europe, so you saw a lot of European films growing up.
The weirdness and science fiction and stuff like that,
yeah. Yeah, like, kind of the... More of the, kind of risk-taking that was kind of being trounced with, like, the return of Blockbuster.
Right,
again, post-Jurassic Park.
Right.
You need to make the biggest film.
Right, Spielberg's responsible for...
Jaws,
the Blockbuster.
The first time, and then again.
The rebirth
of
Blockbuster.
So he not
That's
only killed, like, 70s auteur dark realistic cinema, he helped kill, well, maybe the second upsurge with, like, I guess Tarantino and stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't really help kill it, but he, by virtue of making that big again, we see where everything's Marvel movies.
He put it in a shoebox.
Yeah.
All the Tarantino stuff is relegated to a shoebox under your bed, where you have to pull it out and then look at it with nostalgia and go, oh, that was great. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's neat. And then you put it back. and then you go on the Avengers or something.
Yeah, but I mean, not. I mean, Tarantino's still going to get to make his films, but now that again, now that we're in the big blockbuster, everything like all, the new Tarantinos, the younger filmmakers are already not. They have nowhere to go but small time.
Yeah,
which might make for better product because
well, it used to.
They'll be able to just do something the way they want.
At least it used to go for more interesting product.
Yeah,
maybe not better as like the rules of writing.
I guess more pure, more pure.
But like more interesting or crazier.
Yeah, I mean, you see the same trends in music and everything, you know, all types of mass
entertainment. Speaking of music, what you've been hearing underlying this whole thing is Nostromo. Where can we find Nostromo on the internet?
You actually can't right now. It's a work in process. We have a few tracks up on our SoundCloud, but we're both in the process of buying new synths and completely retooling our live setup. So as that goes, then the recording is going to go. So it's very much still a project right now.
Okay, well, sorry. This is the only spot you're going to find Nostromo then. This has been Andrew, my guest host, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Good night. What did I just
watch? You'll never believe what happened next.